Welcome. We're glad you've chosen to listen to this message from what God is doing at Kingdom Faith Southwest. We pray you will receive the faith you need through hearing God's word.
Well, what I believe is a key message in terms of what the Spirit's already started today, and it's all in the same flow of what God's doing. And with the understanding of what God has spoken over this year, that he has opened an effective door. It's a year of divine opportunities. And God has opened an effective door for us in the spirit, but also in reality. We're going to see unusual openings this year. And I have to say, the start of this year has been a tremendously powerful move of the spirit. And I also want to honor, really, you guys in what's happening, the whole church, but also, you know, every part that is sharing in this momentum, this move forward of the kingdom of heaven. The projects really are seeing immense opportunities. There's a lot more kind of the dynamic of the Holy Spirit working in our projects, reaching people in the world, bringing help to people in the community. So we're seeing a lot more advance for the kingdom and very real things happening through the projects with youth. Apparently last week, 3D was exceptional. They had an exceptional time. This was for the 16s to 25s. The week before, Fly had an amazing time. This week, they also had an amazing time of adversity. And so there's a real challenge going on as we push forward, just as the Apostle Paul said, a great and effective door has opened, and there are many adversaries. There are enemies against what God wants to do. He always wants to save, to heal, to bless, to encourage, to bring people into his power and his amazing wisdom. But the enemy always wants to rob, kill, and destroy what the Lord is doing. And so if we increase the advance, he increases the opposition. And we need to be aware all the time and reminded that we are in a spiritual war, that we are at war constantly. As soon as you're born again in Christ, you're born again into the kingdom of heaven, you are a new person in Christ Jesus. All things have passed away, all things have become new. You are then a victor. You're in victory in Christ Jesus. You have a new standing before God. And you have a new standing before the enemy. Once he used to rule you, now in Christ you rule him. That's simply by becoming a believer. Because what Jesus has done for you raises you into a place of victory in Jesus. And we are on the advance. We're on the move. We are moving the kingdom of heaven forward. And we are personally taking steps to move forward into the promises of God, seeing God's plan for our families, for our friends, for us personally to come into every good thing God has promised. And as soon as you personally take a step forward, you will find that the enemy will offer you some resistance. And, you know, we need to resist the resistance. And we need to kind of keep on the front foot against the enemy and not be pushed back. And so in Ephesians chapter 1, if you could just turn there, we're going to start there this morning and just continue our advance, church. This morning, the preaching is just going to help us to continue to move forward and to take ground that we are here to take off the enemy. Thank you, Jesus. Have we got a people who want to do that? Want to take some ground for Jesus? We want to advance the gospel and see the kingdom of heaven come. And in Ephesians chapter 1, Paul is writing to the church, and therefore it's relevant for us because we are the church of Jesus Christ. And he immediately speaks about who we are, how God has chosen us. In chapter 1, it begins with that we have grace and peace from God, that we have been made holy and blameless in his sight in Christ, that no longer are we a problem to God. We're right with God through faith in Jesus. Phones are ringing. That's the second. So let's switch them off. I think I switched mine off. And so in Christ, we are in a different place completely than what we used to be in, a place of favor with the Lord. And in verse 19, it speaks about God's incomparably great power for us who believe. Now, I don't know if you can think about those few words, his incomparably great power for us who believe. God's power towards us and for us is not minimal, and it's not restricted. It's got incomparably great power towards those who believe in Jesus. And that power is greater than any other power that's going on in the world today or in the whole universe. It can't be compared to what your boss is doing. It can't be compared to your circumstances. It can't be compared to anything the enemy is doing all over the world. His power is greater, and it's towards us who believe. So we can operate in that power and see God's power rule and reign in life, in the world we live in. And so Paul is speaking of having this spiritual mindset and to see the advantage of being in Christ. That just as verse 20 says, God, who through the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be the head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. And God's power then is that same power which he worked in Christ when it looked like Jesus had been crucified and was dead in the tomb. It looked like it wasn't victory. It looked like an absolute defeat. But God's power began to work in Jesus' body and raised him not only from the dead, not only far above powers and principalities, but to the highest place, above all things, all names, all titles. Jesus is above everything. And that same power now has been given to every believer. It doesn't matter how dead something looks, God's power can raise it. It doesn't matter how at the end of your tether or rope you get, God can sort those problems and transform them. And so we're talking about the power of God at work in and through every believer today. And so Paul says, have this mindset that you already have the greater one that is within you. You already have the supernatural power of resurrection in your spirit. Invested in you is all the power you will ever need to win every challenge, to win every battle, and to defeat the enemy in other people's lives. Thank you, Jesus. So Paul says, have a spiritual mindset about the amazing advantage of your place and position in Christ. And then in verse 6 of chapter 2, the truth of God's word says that God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him. Where did we just say he was? Where do we just pray? Where is Jesus? Above all powers, titles, names, circumstances, rulers, authorities, demons, principalities. God is above all. And where has he raised us to? Anybody? Are you listening? I'm not just preaching to myself, am I? He has raised us up and we are seated. Where? In Christ, in heavenly places, far above all powers, principalities, authorities. Does that mean that you are over the devil? Does that mean you are over your circumstances? Does that mean you're a winner? What did you have to do to get there? Believe. Only believe, the word says. And as we continue to believe in the truth of where we are and what God has given us in Christ, we will see the power of God deal with our enemies. You are not just born again to go to heaven. You are born again, have his mighty power, have this amazing position in Christ to rule over the enemy. In Christ, you are called to defeat the enemy and to see victory in real ways in and through your life. You know, when I first became a Christian, there were many areas that I didn't see this victory working out. But as I began to discover what belonged to me in Christ, as I began to search the scriptures and see every scripture that tells me in Christ, this is what you are. In Christ, holy and blameless. In Christ, righteous. In Christ, more than a conqueror. In Christ, no weapon formed against me will prosper. In Christ, I have a rich inheritance. I began to see victory happen in my real life. So what I believed changed the way that my life was worked out. Because believing the truth transforms how you live and what victories you see happen. I mean, when I was first saved, I attracted every cold that was going. It was like I was a welcome mat. You know, like, put down a welcome mat, come to my door. If you've got flu, just pass it on. If you have a cough, I'll take it. And I had almost no resistance to colds. And then I began to believe that, I had authority in the name of Jesus over colds. I know it's really basic, guys, but I started to rule. Now, I didn't win every time, and there's no condemnation for those who have a cold, because, I had a few symptoms a few weeks ago. That doesn't make me defeated. It just means I'm learning to increase my faith to overcome in every challenge. But I'm not going to sit down like the welcome mat at my door for the devil to pass on everything he wants me to accept. And I hope Valerie won't mind me telling this story, but she told us a story, I think it was about a year ago, about some ants. She had some ants in her house. And she's never had an infestation of ants. And so she got quite annoyed that these ants were, you know how they are, they march everywhere, ants. And they're kind of crawling up everything. They go in a line, don't they? So they're like an army of ants. They're all ordered. They're coming up the work surfaces, climbing down the sink, trying to find your crumbs, trying to get their food. And she said, in the name of Jesus, leave my house. She didn't put down ant stuff, powder. She used her authority. The ants left. She used her faith. I think that's a brilliant testimony, because it's real life. And it's having faith to see the devil march out your house. We're not here to watch the devil march, saying, look what he's doing now, or he's gone into the sink. We're here to say, what are you doing in my house? Out you get. Get out, you don't belong in my house. March. You give him the marching orders. And so we need to see, as Paul says, in Christ we're above all. In Ephesians chapter 6, you know, he's still speaking about your mindset, about who you are. Ephesians chapter 6, it says in verse 13, well, no, we've got to start at 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Be strong in his mighty power. I mean, just imagine your life as strong as Jesus. That's a God thought. That's the right thinking. Because we've got the same Holy Spirit. The same opportunities, a year of opportunity, the same opportunities as Jesus in power. And so, what does the word say? Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you might take your stand. Take your stand, church. Take your stand. Against. Don't give him a welcome mat. Don't even hide or bury your head in the sand that there isn't a spiritual battle. But take your stand against the wiles of the enemy. Paul says clearly there is a spirit realm war. There is a war going on for the souls of mankind, for you and your inheritance, for you to see the promises of God for your family, for your personal life. There is a war for our children. There's a war going on for our teenagers. There's a war going on for kids. Take your stand against the devil's schemes, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood. We are not here to fight people. We are not here to fight one another. We are here to forgive. You know, whenever there's a fight going on, the only way forward is forgive. And love one another. Put on humility. Don't march around saying how right you are and how wrong everybody else is. That's where offense comes in. And it breaks up churches. But God says, you know, we're here to forgive one another. But we're also here understanding our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against flesh, against rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world. God says the world is dark. I'm in Christ, I'm in the light. I'm in the kingdom of light. But if you're not in Christ, you're in the dark. And you can be in the light through faith. God will take you out of darkness and put you into the kingdom of light. But there is a dark world. There is opposition going on against the saints. Take your stand against the power of this dark world and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. So the unseen realm has both angels and demons and principalities and powers and rulers over geographical areas. There are spirits that are manipulating and fulfilling the devil's plan going on. But there are God's answer, the church, believers in Christ, who've been put in a position in Christ to deal with these dark forces and to see God's kingdom come and evict the enemy. If you're not excited about that, you need to be really alive to the reality of a spirit realm and understand that the word shows us this reality. We're not just imagining it with our own thinking. The word is painting a picture here of evil spirits in the heavenly places, spiritual forces of wickedness. And then Paul says, therefore, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to take your stand. When the evil day comes, that you may be able to stand your ground, and having outdone everything, to stand. So Paul says, think of yourself as a soldier, kitted out with the armor of God. Now the armor of God is impenetrable and will always protect those who are wearing it. You can never lose or have a wound if the armor of God is fully in place. Helmet of salvation, breastplate of righteousness, the sword of the Spirit, the feet fitted with the gospel, readiness of the gospel of peace, your shoes, your breastplate of righteousness. There's the shield of faith. And he goes on to describe this soldier fully equipped against the enemy. You see, in Christ, we have to think of ourselves as fully equipped to face the enemy. That's what the word is telling us. We are fully equipped to win. We put on Christ. Christ is my righteousness. Christ is my helmet. He is what I wear. I am in Christ. So when the enemy comes against me, he sees Christ. He sees somebody bigger than what I look like, guys. Because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. When I come into a situation, the enemy goes, uh-oh, I hope they don't believe the truth. She doesn't believe the truth, because she'll win if she believes what she's got to defeat me. So what does he do? He tries to lie about who you are. You're not good enough. You haven't got what it takes. You'll never win this battle. It's a load of rubbish. It's a lie. We are fully equipped in Christ. Put on the armor of God with your own mind, with your faith. Say, I'm clothed with Christ. Therefore, I will win every battle. You see, the word tells us this amazing vision of who we are and what we have to stand against the enemy. I'm going to take it right down to verse 17. It speaks of taking the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. So Paul says, here you are, soldier. This is who you are, and this is what you're wearing. That means in Christ, you're a winner. You have what it takes to win every battle. But he says you need to take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the word. You need to use the word as your weapon against the enemy. To take up the promises of God. To speak, it is written, as Jesus said. It is written. The word is the sword of the Lord. It's the sword of the Lord. We defeat the devil every time with God's sword. And what we are to do is proclaim it, declare the word of the Lord in the face of the opposition. To use the word whilst you're under attack, whilst the enemy is throwing something at you, you take up the sword and declare. And then it says praying in the spirit at all times and on all occasions with all kinds of prayer and requests. And with this in mind, keep alert and keep on praying for all the saints. I know that you know, well, if you didn't before, you know it now, that in Christ we have the victory and that we're clothed with Christ, that we can put on the whole armor and have this attitude of being real victorious people in our world today. But I also know that Paul says you need to do something to make sure that you deal with the devil, to make sure that there is an advance of the kingdom. And he uses two aspects, really, that soldiers of Christ must get involved with in to enforce victory. And these two aspects are prayer and taking up the sword of the Spirit. The word of God. One without the other doesn't get you the complete victory. It's both working that sees the advance of the kingdom. So we need prayer to advance, and we need also the word of the Lord or the sword of the Spirit. When the enemy comes against me, I'm not going to win by telling him how bad I feel about it. I will win when I declare, no weapon formed against me will prosper. When there's a threat of something going wrong, I need to come back into that situation with a promise from God. I read a brilliant one recently in Psalm 37, I think it was. It says, in the days of famine, the righteous will enjoy plenty. It's just quite simple, that. In the days of famine, the righteous will enjoy plenty. Well, that's my sword. If there's ever no food, guess what? I will enjoy plenty. And I will win the victory by believing that, praying, and declaring, using that sword to defeat the enemy. See, so I'm taking up the sword of the Spirit, praying and declaring God's word. Now, these two aspects, I just want to go into them just a little bit more in detail. Prayer and using our authority, really, and ruling over the enemy. We have, as Pastor Andrew has already prayed for Caroline and Dan, we had, you know, the team here, James and Becky, they had quite a challenging time here on Friday night. And I know that there was a situation in one of the other projects that actually brought about some trouble on the night of a real advance. There was some trouble going on. And so, you know, I'm speaking into a real situation in a real working church. So I'm not just talking theory here. I'm saying this is what we need to do, guys, to make sure we keep advancing and keep ruling over the devil. And the first thing is we must pray for each other. We must pray. It's absolutely essential we understand that our world is not just me and God, but that we have a body life, that we are to be connected and in the right place in the body and in real close relationship with some believers and in relationship with the whole body too. That we understand that that's how God actually supplies what you need when you need it and through you releases the supply to somebody else when they need it. And praying for one another is absolutely vital for our success. I would never like it that anybody in Kingdom Faith Southwest wouldn't be prayed for. That's why we have faith groups. Faith groups connect you with people who will say, I care. And I'll take on that responsibility to be standing guard and praying for you. I know what's going on in your life so that I can carry this and really support you. And so prayer is absolutely the way to get God's provision into one another's lives. Just turn over to Philippians, just a page over probably for you. Paul is writing from prison, from a tough situation. And he's writing to the Philippians, the church in Philippi. And first thing he does is he says, I thank God for you, for your fellowship, for your partnership in the gospel. And, you know, this week, what we've heard about what you guys are doing. And what I hear about what's happening in the workplace, I've heard doors opening in people's workplaces, opportunities to give the gospel at work. I've heard some amazing testimonies from you guys. And we echo that. We thank God that we're partnering for the advance of the gospel. We thank God for you. That together, well, this is what we're doing. We're not just having church. We're advancing the gospel. Hello? That's the mission. It's the goal to advance the gospel of Jesus Christ. So Paul says, I thank God we're in partnership and he has a real, I have you in my heart. And you know, we're to have one another in our hearts. Because when somebody is in your heart, you'll pray for them. If they're just in your head on a Sunday and they visit a church, there isn't the same dynamic of care. That's why we believe in joining a local church, becoming a member of a body, so that we can actually say, you're in my heart. And it's not just the pastors that do this, it's the body. Because we can't carry everybody's situation, but together we can carry it all. We can carry one another. And carry those God's putting on our hearts in the world. And so Paul, he's writing from prison. In verse 12, he says, I want you to know, brothers. So the Philippians were probably like, Paul's in prison. He's in a tough place. And he says, I want you to know that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. Paul looked at his circumstances kind of from a heavenly perspective. He says, everybody else would moan and complain about this. I'm not complaining. I'm seeing it as advance. Amen. It looks like my life has been closed down. But actually, the gospel is still being preached. I'm still effective in prison. Yeah. Now, it kind of gives us a bit of perspective about what we call negative circumstances. That we're to look at what we're in and say, God, I want you to use this for the advance of the gospel. Whatever I'm in, Lord, glorify your name. Let the gospel influence the people around me. It's a completely different perspective. Not, oh, will you pray for me? I'm still stuck in this job. Will you pray for me? I'm finding life really hard. And Paul says, don't worry, it's a perspective we need. Lord, I thank you that you can use me in the here and now. And that I can make a difference in spite of the restrictions that I'm facing. I think of, and I'm moved when I think about it, the people who are in their latter years and are strong believers and can't leave home physically. It's like they're in a prison, but they're as free as birds because they pray. And what they do is they're advancing. They're seeing fruit. Everybody else would say, isn't it awful they're shut up? They would say, isn't it great I'm free? I've got so much time to pray. And I can use what my circumstances to advance. I mean, the revival on the Lewis Islands happened from two old ladies praying. And they birthed a move of God that absolutely showed the power of God on those islands. Whatever you're in, you can produce food for the advance of the gospel. So Paul says, we're in partnership. And he says in verse 13, as a result, it's become clear throughout the whole palace garden to everyone else that I'm in chains for Christ. Because of my chains, most of the brothers in the Lord have been encouraged to speak the word of God more courageously and fearlessly. So Paul says, you know, people, the guards who've locked me up are getting free and becoming believers. You know, if you view the people who are probably quite destructive to you at work as those you want free in Christ and see the gospel preached to, obviously as led by the Lord, but you will see amazing transformation. These guards began to see that Paul had a destination, a destiny in prison. And then he said, you know, it's caused brothers and sisters in Christ to rise. Sometimes we need to rise personally to encourage one another to rise. It's like King David when he stood against Goliath. Once he defeated the one Goliath, the one person, the whole army rose. Isn't it time we stood? Come on, let's take a stand for the gospel. I, you know, this politically correct stuff. Oh, well, I can't do this and I can't do that. I mean, I wonder if Paul lived in our day. I don't think he would be complying with the fear of man. I think he'd be applying wisdom and speaking with humility. But he'd be holding out the word of life so that people could be saved, wouldn't he? And we need to be bold with the gospel and hold out the word of life to this generation. Paul was not a lone ranger. It speaks volumes to me. He didn't do life alone. He did life in connection with the church. And the church actually partnered with him for the advance of the gospel in prison. So they were also on the offensive where Paul was. It's fantastic to see that our prayers affect frontline missions. And that our prayers for one another, when you go out to your work tomorrow morning, you need to be prayed for. So that there can be advance. We should be praying for one another in our workplaces. Husbands and wives should be sending one another out with prayer, support, backup. We should be backing every project with prayer. We should be saying somebody's out there on mission. Let's get behind them. So that there is this support for the work of God and for the advance of the kingdom. Paul says in verse 19, I know that through your prayers and the help given by the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. He's saying, because you prayed, there's been an advance and there will be a turning out for good. I'll come out of prison. So you could say the church prayed him into the next phase of purpose for his life. Just imagine your faith group praying for you so that you continue to move, advancing the gospel and for the purpose of God for your life. Praying you into the next thing. That's how we're to see praying for one another with the purpose of advance. Wherever we go, that we're seeing the kingdom of heaven come. And he said there was a supply. He said, basically, you guys are keeping me supplied with what I need in prison. The supply of the Holy Spirit. That means they were adding to Paul's courageous witness in prison. Paul's, if you read it, he actually viewed this time. He said, I don't want to step back. I don't want to be fearful about being a witness in this place. I want to be bold. I mean, we should, as a church, be all of us saying, pray for me that I'll be bold. Pray for me that I'll be a strong witness. That actually Christ will be glorified in my life. So this prayer was supplying Paul with the supply of the Holy Spirit to give him courage to see God glorified where he was. I love to think that we can increase the glory of God in your workplace by praying for you. That we can increase the glory of God if you're a husband or a wife whose partner isn't saved. We can increase the glory of God in your marriage so that whoever, your husband or wife, will see Jesus and be saved. I love to think that we can supply what parents need in raising their children in this season, in this time. So they'll have wisdom to win. Come on. We are to pray for one another and get supplies to one another. Provide what is needed so you win in Jesus. This is the heart of God for his church. And secondly, we said that the first point, aspect, is prayer. The second aspect is we must stand against the enemy. We must deal directly with the enemy. God has given every believer authority in the name of Jesus over all the power of the enemy. And in Luke 10:19, it says, and nothing will harm you. So don't go in and attack the enemy or rule over the enemy and say, oh dear, I'm sure they'll be come back. Basically, what are you saying? Devil, come back. Hello? When you rule over the enemy, say nothing will harm me whilst I'm doing this. There'll be no comeback because I won't let you come back. Not, oh gosh, I'm going to take authority. I do hope I don't get too bad a repercussion. That's not, we need to rule with our words, don't we? And say, no harm will come near me. And so Paul is speaking about standing against the evil spirits, the spiritual forces of wickedness that are opposing us and therefore the purpose of God. Now, you can turn there if you want in 2 Samuel. Just quickly, we'll look there. 2 Samuel chapter 23. How you doing? We must pray for one another. And we must stand against the enemy. We are advancing, church. We're going through open doors. We're seeing the gospel advance. We're seeing the promises of God come to pass. You're going to be blessed with the opportunities God's going to present you with this year. Work-wise, in every sphere. But we must pray for one another. And we must stand against the enemy. 2 Samuel chapter 23 is one of David's mighty men. They were called mighty men because they did mighty stuff. Hello? Hello? I want to be known as somebody who did something for Jesus. Hello? There's somebody who went, gosh, you know, they showed unusual power and strength in that situation. Not just like, oh, they went to church. So these are David's mighty men. Now remember, Paul says, in Christ you have the mighty power of God towards those who believe. So you've got power to do more than this guy, Shema. 2 Samuel chapter 23 and verse 11. So next to this other mighty man was Shema. I love that. Shema. Sounds cool. It sounds really cool. What's your name? My name's Shema. Are you there? 2 Samuel 2. Are you there? There's a lot of rustling going on. Next to him was Shema, son of Agi, the Hararite. When the Philistines banded together at a place where there was a field full of lentils, Israel's troops fled from them. So the enemy came against Israel's army. So can you imagine? I just want to put it in perspective. Okay? All but Ian Sherwood at the back leave. The enemy's coming in and everybody deserts. All of us run. Okay, so can you imagine that? Everybody leaves Crescent House really quick. And Ian is stood saying, I don't know why you're running. God's with us. And what does he do? He took his stand. Now, this is brilliant. He took his stand. He took his stand. So in other words, first of all, he made a decision. The devil's not having this. He is not going to run us off our ground. He's only going to take what Jesus has promised us. And so he took his stand and he said, he defended it in the middle of the field. He struck the Philistines down and the Lord brought about a great victory. Now, would there have been victory if Ian had run with the rest of us? You only need one person to stand for an incredible victory. Hello? Imagine an army standing in Christ. But we have to take a stand and not back off from the territory that God says is ours. We cannot afford to back off the people we're winning for Christ. We have to take a stand against the enemy who wants to keep them in darkness and blindness, who wants to hold on to them until they get to hell. He wants to hold them until they get to hell. What does Jesus want to do? Break in and set them free for heaven. Amen. And somebody's got to take a stand. Somebody's got to take the place in the spirit where we say, in the name of Jesus, we rule. We stand against these evil spirits that are holding captive these people. Our battle is not against flesh and blood. It's not against the people we're winning. It's against powers and principalities, evil forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. It's important that we understand that we have a soldier's role to play in enforcing the victory Jesus has given us. It's important you understand that if you don't use the authority you've been given, you won't see the victory. The devil will rob, steal, and destroy what actually God has freely given you in Christ. We can't have this welcome mat, this que sera, sera. Whatever will be, will be. No, wherever we stand will be. It's not about what the devil's doing. It's what we're doing. Will we take our place? Will we rule over spirits of rebellion that are destroying families, our kids, our teenagers? We will not have that spirit of rebellion ruin this generation. These kids are precious. They're important. They're special. We must take a stand against the enemy. In Mark chapter 4, we see, finally, I'm going to finish with this and you'll be thrilled. But the devil's thrilled that we've got this message. To pray for one another and to stand against the enemy. We'll look at just briefly Mark chapter 4. This spiritual opposition came against Israel, comes against God's individual people, comes against churches, comes against the purpose of God for a nation. We are at war. Yeah? We're at war against the enemy. And in chapter 4 and verse 35. That day when evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let's go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. And there were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up and rebuked. He got up. He took a stand. Jesus got up and rebuked the wind and the waves. "Quiet, be still." Quiet. He's acting like a ruler. How do you act in a storm? Like a runner or a ruler? Fear and flight or faith and confrontation? In the name of Jesus, be quiet, be still. I will rule over this storm, this squall, this problem, this circumstance. I will rule over what the enemy is kicking up. In the name of Jesus. We see here the disciples who are used to being out on the Sea of Galilee. They're used to storms at a certain level. But the enemy sent a storm to shake them, to put them into fear. Because when God's people are in fear, they will always sink. But when we are in faith and will not fear the storms, but rule over them, we will see amazing expressions of the power of God working in our circumstances. We will see an explosion of God's mighty power deal with that storm. There'll be a release of power that people will go, "How did that happen? How did it stop so quickly?" Because we rule. We take a stand. We do not let the conditions determine what comes out of our mouths. The disciples went, "Oh no, we're sinking, it's lost, it's hopeless, this is such a terrible situation I'm in, it's awful." And Jesus, I noticed that Jesus is the perfect shepherd. He loves the disciples perfectly, but he also will not pamper or keep them in pampers. He will not change nappies. He wants to raise rulers. People who will take a stand. And so he doesn't say, "Oh, let me just spend an hour counseling you." He looked at them, "Where is your faith? Do you have no faith?" Basically, you've let your circumstances actually steal your trust in God. And we must stand against fear. Anxiety. If you are a person who has to deal with panic attacks, you must stand. Clothed in the armor with the sword of the Lord, I rule over this anxiety. I will not fear. God is with me. He will not let me fall. He loves me. He's got a good plan for my life. I will fear no evil. I will fear no harm. I will not fear my circumstances. I will rule. Now, I am aware that you and I have emotions. and that we do respond to trouble sometimes. There's a reality of being hit by a difficult situation. But what we must do is encourage faith in God, that God is with us, and that if God is for us, we can sing it on a Sunday, but can you say it on a Monday? Can you say it in a storm? If our God is for us, then who could stand against us? Nothing can stand against us, church. In Christ, if we will stand, the devil cannot take anything that God has promised us. And in fact, we will dispossess him. We'll take stuff off him. We're here to dispossess the enemy. I just have to finish one more, I promise you. Matthew chapter 12. It's interesting, isn't it, that Jesus commanded peace. What did he speak? Heaven's rule. Because what's in heaven? Peace. Yeah? And as Pastor Andrew said at the beginning, or in the prayer, loose peace. What did he do? I speak peace. Whenever there's a storm, I just command peace. I say, be still. So in other words, enemy, you can stop behaving like that and creating a ruckus. In the name of Jesus, stop. Peace, peace, peace is powerful. I can loose peace over children. I've seen kids in a frantic, you know, it's like they've had too many sweets. They can go wild. And sometimes the enemy's behind. Hello? Strife in family. Sometimes the enemy is directly involved in strife. What do you do? I command peace. Be still. I speak peace to this house. We will not have this disorder. I'm going to rule in Jesus' name. In Matthew chapter 12 and verse 29. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus is speaking about driving out demons by the Spirit, bringing the kingdom of God. And in verse 29, he said, or again, how can anyone enter a strong man's house and carry off his possessions unless he first ties up or binds the strong man? Then he can rob his house. You see, Jesus was the strong man. He came to bind the devil, to tie him up, and to stop him working in people's lives. He did it for me. Jesus set me free from the power of the devil. He set me free from the power of Satan. And now he says there's a principle here. If we're going to go in to the world, we better rule first. Hello? We better use the sword of the Spirit, take the authority in the name of Jesus and say, in Jesus' name, I'm ruling. And binding the forces of darkness, because I'm going to take what the devil is holding on to. Thank you, Jesus. You need to command the devil to loose your stuff. The things that belong to you in God. Tell the enemy he can't have them. He can't have your health. Hello? He can't. He can't have your peace of mind. I bind in Jesus' name. He can't have your future. He can't have the purpose of God for your life. He can't have what Jesus has said is ours. And so we rule in the name of Jesus over all the power of the enemy. Praise God. Two aspects of a soldier of Christ. Praying for one another and ruling over the enemy with the sword of the Spirit, standing and binding the devil. We're here to advance. And we're here to support one another. Let's stand.
This completes the message. Thank you for listening. If you would like any further information on Kingdom Faith Southwest, please contact us on 01823 664 186 or overseas visitors 0044 1823 664 186 or log onto our website at www.kingdomfaithsw.com.